a continuation in our golden nuggets of God's gift, this wonderful truth, the many different gifts that God gives to the child of God. As 2 Timothy 1:7 points out, first of all, we consider the gift of eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ, and the gift of Christ, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. What a wonderful gift is ours in the Lord Jesus Christ, a free gift that's offered to whosoever. And that includes every individual listening to the sound of my voice. That includes every individual on the face of the earth. Whosoever will may take of the Lord Jesus Christ, the bread of life. Believe in Him, accept Him, and know the joy, the peace, the forgiveness of sin, the cleansing power of the Holy Spirit of God working in their life and setting them free and making a new creation out of them. Oh, the wonderful gifts of God that are offered so freely without any cost. All we have to do is to receive them. And the gift of the Holy Spirit that comes into our spirit when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and accept Him as our Savior, then He moves into our spirit to do the work of salvation. And then there's certain gifts that the Holy Spirit of God gives us. And there's numerous gifts that we receive from God that many times we as believers do not pause to consider and think about the many gifts that are ours in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear." Again, the spirit of fear is from our enemy. It's not from God. But God has given us the spirit of power, as we previously discussed. He's given us the spirit of love. And oh, how wonderful is the love of God. And He's given us the spirit of a sound mind. Now, I want us to think about a sound mind for a few moments. A sound mind is a mind that is under control. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, verse 27 through 30, the Lord told us about a man that was demon-possessed. And as you look there to Luke, chapter 8, if you will follow along with me, you'll see how that this man was out of control. And how that when he came to know Jesus and was delivered from the demons of Satan, he was in his right mind. He was in a mind that was right. And Luke chapter 8, verse 27 states, "And when he went forth to land, there met him a man out of the city, a certain man, which had devils long time, and wore no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs." This man was out of control. When he saw Jesus, he cried out, fell down before Him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with Thee, Jesus, Thou Son of God Most High? I beseech Thee, torment me not." The demons were communicating through this man's mouth. For he had commanded, Jesus had commanded, the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oft times it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands, and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. This man was tormented. He was out of control. They couldn't even bind him with chains or with fetters. He'd break them, and he was out of control. And Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Legion," because many devils or demons had entered into him. This man was out of control. But when he came to Jesus, and when he came to know the Lord, and the Lord set him free from those demons. Verse 35 says, "And when they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus, and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed, and in his right mind." In his right mind. Yes, beloved, Jesus, one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit of God, is the gift of a mind that is under control. When we yield to the Holy Spirit of God. Now, there's a number of facts that are indicated here in this passage of Scripture, and I'd like for us to consider them. First of all, he had a mind, a right mind, that was under control. Before, he was uncontrollable. He was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he broke the bands, as we had just read. But now, he had a mind under control. He had a mind that was at peace, not troubled, but quiet. Before we read, "and was driven of the devil into the wilderness," verse 29, the latter part of the verse. But now we see in verse 27 that he was sitting at the feet of Jesus. He was quiet, and he was sitting at Jesus' feet, whereas before he had been filled with the demons of Satan and was out of control. Now we see that he is sitting at Jesus' feet. He's quiet, and he's not troubled. He's not tormented. And in the book of John, chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Oh, beloved, the wonderful peace that we receive when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the wonderful peace that passes all understanding, we're told, this glorious peace of God. And we see the man was at rest, sitting. He was sitting. Before, he was driven of the devil. Driven of the devil, verse 29. Jesus says in Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I will give you rest. Setting indicates a number of facts. It indicates that he was under control. It indicates that he was at peace. He wasn't troubled. He was quiet. It indicates that he was at rest. Before, he was driven of the devil. Demons possessed him, and he was driven. There was no rest. He was constantly agitated, constantly moving. But Jesus says in Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." Oh, beloved, are you resting in Christ today? Do you know the peace that he gives? Do you know what it is to rest in the Lord? To cast all your care upon him? To let him handle your problems and your difficulties? Oh, beloved, it's so easy for us to be agitated in the day and age we're living in. It's so easy for us to get perturbed and upset and distraught. Oh, how wonderful to rest in the Lord. And then the word "setting" indicates that he was behaving normally. Before, he did not behave normally, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. Beloved, that's not normal by any means, for a person to not abide in a house, but to dwell in the tombs, and to wander around in the graveyard, and to live there. That's not normal by any means. And we see now, he's behaving normally. He's quietly sitting at Jesus' feet. And notice, he was staying in one place. Before, he was driven of the devil into the wilderness, indicating that he was wandering about wandering and couldn't find any place to stay. He was just constantly on the move. But now he's staying in one place. He's quietly sitting at Jesus' feet. Now, note where he is sitting, beloved. It's at Jesus' feet. This indicates humility and submission, sitting at the feet of Jesus. He's sitting down at the feet of Jesus, humbly submissive to the Lord. He had an humble mind. This was another fact about his mind. It was an humble mind. It was a right mind, and it was an humble mind. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 8, we read these words, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This mind, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery or a thing to be sought after, to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation." He wasn't trying to make a name for himself. "And he took upon him the form of a servant. He was willing to serve, and was made in the likeness of sinful men. He humbled himself to the point of being limited to a physical body. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself even more, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." The most horrible, despicable, terrible death that anyone could die. A death of suffering, a death of torment, an awful death. That is how humble Jesus Christ was, beloved. A mind that is humble. And if we, beloved, would have the mind of Christ, it would be a mind that is humble. You remember when Jesus washed the disciples' feet? You remember the example of humility that he gave them there? It was an example of humility. And there, the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verse 3 through 17, verse 15 says that it was an example that he was making for the disciples. He said, "I have given you an example that you should walk in humility." He said that you should wash one another's feet. What he was saying was that we should humble ourselves to minister to one another. And so we see that this man sitting at Jesus' feet indicated that he had an humble and a submissive mind, yielded to the will of the Lord. And whatever the Lord's will was, he was submissive to it. And then, notice also the scripture stated in verse 35 that he was clothed. He was clothed. First of all, he was sitting at Jesus' feet. And then secondly, he was clothed. And thirdly, he was in his right mind. He was clothed as he sat there at Jesus' feet. Before, verse 27 says that he wear no clothes. He wear no clothes. He was running around naked. Beloved, there's many who today show an awfully lot of flesh that is really unnecessary and unneedful. I don't know why it is, but you see so many women who dress promiscuously. I don't think they're in the right mind to dress that way. It's indecent. And it's impure, and I think it's wicked for women to dress in a manner and in a way that displays their body to cause men to lust after them. Beloved, it's evil and wicked, and women who are ungodly dress that way. And any time you see a woman dressed in such a manner and in such a way as to attract attention to her body, to cause people to lust after her, to cause men to lust after her, beloved, she's not properly dressed. And something's wrong with her thinking. she's not thinking clearly to display herself in such a manner and in such a way. And so we see that this man whose mind was under control, this man who had a right mind, was thinking correctly, and he was properly clothed, sitting there at Jesus' feet. And then another fact we see concerning a right mind or a sound mind is a mind that is yielded to the will of God. This man was yielded to the will of God. Notice Luke 8 and verse 28, or verse 38 rather. And now the man out of whom the demons were departed besought Jesus that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to thine own house, and show how great things God has done for you. Show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way. You see, he was obedient to the will of God. He went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done for him. Oh, beloved, a mind that is a sound mind is a mind that's yielded to the will of God. Over in 1 Peter, let me read to you what 1 Peter tells us. In 1 Peter chapter 4 it is, and verse 1 and 2. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. Be willing to suffer in the flesh for Jesus' sake. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. Suffering has a cleansing effect, beloved, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. A sound mind is a mind that is yielded to the will of God. And so he tells us to arm ourselves with the same mind, the mind that Christ had, being willing to suffer for the sake of the gospel and for Almighty God. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. Beloved, suffering turns you away from evil lusts and evil desires, as you suffer in the flesh, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh, seeking to satisfy the lusts of men, but to the will of God. And so a sound mind is a mind that is yielded to the will of God. You remember how many times Jesus said, I came not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. In John chapter 5, verse 30, John chapter 6, verse 38, it's a couple of references where the Lord Jesus said those words, I came not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And then, beloved, a mind under God's control is a mind that is a renewed mind. In Romans chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, verse 1 and 2, that ye present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And there it is, beloved. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove or show forth or make known what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That is, by a renewed mind, we will live in a manner pleasing and acceptable to the Lord. We will walk in obedience to Him. We will honor and glorify Him with our life, with a renewed mind, which we'll think as Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 teaches us to think. Whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, think on these things. We're admonished by Paul in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Beloved, we need to walk with a renewed mind. And you know what will renew your mind? God's Word. God's Word is essential. That's why every day, beloved, you need to get into the Word of God. Every day, you need to turn your thoughts away from the world system, which is programming people to walk after their own thinking. We read in Romans chapter 1 that men who walked away from God changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. They changed the truth into a lie. And we're living in a day and age when the truth is turned into a lie. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. And beloved, that certainly is a picture of what's happening in the United States of America. In our public school system, God has been removed from the picture. We do not want the Ten Commandments put up. We do not want Bibles read. We do not want to have prayer in commencement exercises. We want to rule God out of the picture. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. A mind, beloved, that was evil. A mind that was wicked. A mind that was given over to the flesh. And he goes on to describe, pardon me, in verse 29 through 31, the things that a reprobate mind does. And, beloved, it sounds like a description of the United States of America today. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. A reprobate mind. Beloved, renew your mind with the Word of God. It's a wonderful gift that we have through the Holy Spirit of God, a sound mind. Until next time, beloved, God bless you. Goodbye.